Well, this evening we come to a very familiar passage of the Scriptures, and yet one that it has ever-deepening meaning for those of us who have known the Lord for a number of years. We find it's like peeling an onion. There's just so much more depth to this text than we had ever imagined, and we find it so again as we read it tonight. Some of you may know that 10 years ago or so was published the hardbound nonfiction book that has been the best-selling book in the history of the world, other than the Bible itself. It's known as The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. And if you've read that book, and many of you have, you'll remember the very first sentence in the very first chapter. It goes like this: it's not about you. And that's a good thing to remember, and especially you can see it in this text. Here we have human beings not even letting the Holy Family in to have a place in the inn, and they have their baby in the manger. And here the glory of God is exalted, and Jesus Christ is lifted up as the Son of God and Christ the Lord, the Savior of humankind. It's really about Him, isn't it? And it's very helpful to remember that in life, because some of us with narcissistic tendencies tend to think that life really is about us. And what we're taught in the Scriptures and reminded by Rick Warren is it's really about Him. And yet, I wonder if I might argue just a tiny bit with the concept that it's not about you. Because when we look at the text, we see that the Christmas story really doesn't find its fulfillment nor its completion without you. Granted, you're not the major actor, you have the minor part. But in this story, any part is a major part. And I'd like to argue for just a moment that it really is about you. And the reason I say that is that one, in reading this story, cannot help but notice the four yous in verses 10, 11, and 12. You might want to open your Bible back up as we consider this for just a few moments. And I want you to notice how it is about you. In verse 10, the angel Gabriel is coming to shepherds, poor shepherds who have no significance in high society, who in the scope of things are not considered important people at all. In fact, they're at the bottom of the barrel. Anyone who deals with sheep is a dirty person physically and a person who largely cannot keep the requirements to be in the temple precincts and therefore is considered somewhat ostracized. But the angel comes to these shepherds and says, there is good news of great joy for you. And I want you to notice the first thing that you have is good news. It's for you. And you're part of this story because you're receiving the good news. Now, news is important. I notice a lot of my friends read the financial page of the newspaper because why? News is important. And sometimes you can read the news and maybe predict a little bit about what's going to happen in the stock market. And so we're always reading the news because you want to make your investments in light of what's going on in the broader world. Even Jesus says that a wise person is a person who builds his life on the rock, on the truth of God, who has the big picture. And the news has come to you. You're part of this story, my fellow shepherds. So he says, I have good news for you of great joy. Notice secondly where you come into the picture. You, a baby unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Unto you, he says to the shepherds. Notice Gabriel, or whoever the angel was, doesn't just say a baby's born. He doesn't just say the Messiah has come. He says unto you the Messiah has come. So you this night are very much a part, an important part of this story, because the news comes to you, and the news that comes to you is about you, that you now have a Savior. You say, what do I need a Savior for? Well, I'm glad you asked. The reason that you need a Savior is because you're in trouble, and you need to be rescued. A Savior is someone who rescues another person from danger or trouble. And you and I are in great danger and trouble apart from the sovereignty of God. And it's because of our sin, because when we sinned and when our father and mother, Adam and Eve, sinned and all the race now is sinners, we're rebelling against a holy and omnipotent God. We're in deep trouble. But God, out of his loving grace, sends us the news that he has sent us the solution. He sent us a Savior. So you are part of the story because you're getting the news, and the news is about you, that the Messiah has come for you, to save you from your sin. And thirdly, you'll notice that the angel says to him that a sign will be given to you. So you're given a sign that this is true. And of course, the sign, the shepherds were told, would be they'd find a little baby tightly wrapped in cloths, and of all places would be found in a cattle trough. That's the sign. You'll find this new king, this Messiah, in a cattle trough. And when you find that, you know that what we're saying is true to you. And you say, oh, how I wish that we had a sign today. Dear friends, you do. When Jesus was asked for a sign, do you remember what he told the teachers of the law in his own day? The sign is the sign of Jonah, that the Son of Man will be buried in the earth for 3 days and then will rise from the dead. Do you want to know if this Jesus is the Christ, if he is the Lord? Do you want to know if the angel was telling the shepherds the truth? Well, you have a sign that the one 2,000 years ago who was crucified on a cross has been raised from the dead on the third day and now lives evermore to make intercession for his people. He ascended into heaven and 500 people saw it. They were eyewitnesses. And you say, well, that's not a sign for me. Oh, yes, it is if you believe credible witnesses. If you believe that 12 credible men of high character, independently of one another, went all over the world proclaiming this truth at the risk of their own lives. Every one of them but one was martyred for it, went to their death proclaiming that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That's the sign. And if you're seeking tonight, remember, this is the sign to examine. Examine this. Ask yourself, how could this not be? It is more difficult to believe that these 12 men, independent of one another, were lying at the risk of their lives than that they were telling the truth about a resurrected Savior. And so these shepherds, just like ourselves, are part of the story because we're given the sign. And then notice in verse 12, they're given a promise. You will find the sign. They're given a promise that you not only have the sign, but you will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And what the Lord tells us is another promise. As Jeremiah said to the exiles in Babylon, even if you're in exile, even if you're in a very difficult moment in life, he says to them, if you seek the Lord, you will find him. If you seek him with all of your heart. You know, from time to time, I have my good friends who will say to me, you know, I'm seeking the Lord, I just can't find him. And I remind them, this is what God says. If you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him. He does not play hide and seek, but he also is not found by half-hearted seekers who want to find a God that they can get along with just as they are. They hope not to find a God who will change them. You won't find God if that's what you're seeking for. But if you seek him with all of your heart, the promise to the shepherds and to us is that we'll find him. What a great role for us to play tonight, to get the news about a gift to us. And we are given a sign, and we are promised that just as Jesus says to his disciples, if you seek, you will find. And that's what the shepherds were promised. Now, quickly and lastly, notice this, that these shepherds, just like fellow shepherds here tonight, are part of this story, not just because of what God did for us, but how we respond. And you'll notice in the verses that follow that they do respond. For example, you'll see in verse 15 that the shepherds spoke to one another. They encouraged each other about these things. That was the first thing they did with the news. They strengthened one another in the body of Christ among those fellow believers, and they encouraged one another in these true things. And they said to each other, let's go. Let's go and see this thing that has happened. There was enthusiasm and joy among the people of God. Secondly, notice when you get to verse 16 that they went with haste. They went. They got on the journey. They engaged the event itself. They, if you will, gave it a try. They began to read their Bibles, as we would say in our day, or they began to go to church. They began to get into the life of this miraculous news that had been communicated toward them. They went with haste. And notice in verse 16, and then they found what they were looking for. They discovered. And notice in verse 17, fourthly, then they made known the saying to everybody. They told everybody. And even the mother of Jesus learned something from them, because we're told that even she treasured the things that she had heard from these poor shepherds in her heart, because they knew something that even she hadn't discovered. That God was exalted to the highest place through the birth of this child. And they told Mary about this wonderful news that had come to him. This is what it means to take our part in the story of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, you'll notice in verse 20 that they worship God. They entered into praising God and glorifying him. Gloria in excelsis Deo. They gave him the praise and glory. There was worship in their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's true from one perspective that it's not about you and it's not about me. But from another perspective, it's every bit about you and about me. And the Christmas story tonight is about him. It's also about you. Will you receive the news? Will you believe it? Will you take the sign and seek him? Will you believe the promise? And then, having found him, will you rejoice and encourage one another and study these things together and tell the world and worship God? That's the Christmas story in all of its beauty.